CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We go immediately to a story that is emerging over these last days of two warships in the Iranian Navy, perhaps IRGC, perhaps regular Navy, slowly proceeding towards the New World from the Middle East. Their goal is uncertain, but the U.S. government is reporting the suspicion that there are arms involved and that Venezuela may be the goal. Malcolm, a good evening again to you. Why Iran with possible weapon systems to Venezuela? How does that help the story? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it is part of a very complicated situation that we face today with Iran. But here, Iran is sending these ships. It's part of a pattern that we have seen before where they transfer weapons to Venezuela and in return got shipments of gold. In this case, the Biden administration has been very outspoken urging or demanding that Venezuela and Cuba turn away these warships, which are carrying weapons, including, according to some of the reports and pictures that were taken, these fast attack boats, which were likely for sale to Venezuela. And these are seen as very provocative and a threat to our partners in South America, but also to the United States. And senior administration officials have said we will take appropriate measures in coordination with our partners to deter the transit and delivery. And I think this is a pretty bold statement on their part because of the concern that Venezuela, acting as a front for Iran in part and pursuing its own goals, has proven to be a very destabilizing force, and these additional weapons will only add to it.
Iran elections. Let's go back to where the ships came from. There's an election forthcoming, and the mystery has been who's running for president, who's going to be permitted to run for president. Do we have any clarity, Malcolm?
Well, we have some clarity as the situation has developed, as only seven of the 592 people who put themselves forward as presidential candidates were approved by the Guardian Council for the election, which will take place on June 18th. And Ali Khamenei said that the injustice and sin have been done against some of the candidates who didn't get permission because of people he favored. But obviously they're looking for the most right wing. They had the first televised candidates debate last week, and the seven candidates appeared and agreed that the situation, the economic situation, is unprecedentedly bad. And Raisi, who's considered to be the front runner and the preferred candidate of Khamenei and of the Revolutionary Guard, was seen as the weakest candidate. And now a third of Iranians say that they would definitely vote in the election. So it's a question of whether they can at least create the circumstance where the sham election will be justified by some of the turnout. And if people are being urged by dissident groups now to boycott the election, including those in Europe and the United States, are urging that voters show their disdain by not voting.
And Malcolm, do you have an opinion of where this is going? What is it that the Supreme Leader wants to achieve with this election? Because we can believe it will not be a fair and balanced election unless he gets what he wants.
That is true. And he is looking for continuity right now. And obviously he wants his son to succeed him. Raisi would be seen as a potential candidate to become the Supreme Leader. He is an Ayatollah himself, and you have to become Supreme Leader. And I think he is looking to consolidate the positions that he has imposed during his lengthy tenure and to assure that that is the further direction. The most right wing is the Maoist, the parliament itself, and the Guardian Council. Everybody is an extremist. The question is, who's the most extreme? So you don't have any moderate candidates in this race, and it's not what he wants right now.
So it's not, again, going to go through the story that was told about Rouhani as a moderate wins out. They're not going to repeat that story.
I don't think that they will be able to. You know, Zarif was a candidate. Others were candidates. Ahmadinejad was told to stay home and not to raise his candidacy. He's trying to do it independently, but obviously that doesn't work there. So They are trying to, there's nobody they're going to be able to point to and say, this is the voice of moderation.
Is there an update on the suspect nuclear weapons program?
There are a number of updates about Iran's activities in this regard, and they're very disturbing. The IAEA finally, International Atomic Energy Agency, and Grassi, the very courageous director general, said that Iran hasn't answered any of the questions that we've been raising on the show for a long time about the uranium particles that were found at sites that were previously undeclared, as Iran was obligated to do. And they called on Iran to provide the information, but they said till now they have not, that the traces of uranium were of man-made origin, so they can't say that it was just occurring in nature. And the safeguards declarations that Iran was supposedly to put out, it limits the ability of the IAEA to provide assurances of the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear program. So he's saying now we cannot give you that assurance. That's a declaration to the Western countries that are sitting in the negotiations, telling them you have to take action because we don't know what they're really doing. I saw Secretary Blinken said several stronger statements, including that hundreds of sanctions would remain in force even in the return to JCPOA, if including some, by the way, imposed by the Trump administration, if they're not inconsistent with the JCPOA until Iran changes its behavior. And there are new satellite images that show that at Sanjarian, the site, there's been a lot of activities. They make shockwave generators, which allow Iran to miniaturize nuclear weapons. So there's a lot of activity going on at that site. There's a whole slew of things that are coming out, including in Albright's book that we discussed with him recently. But the declarations by Grossi really go to another level. And I think we will see much more on this because the pressure will be put on the negotiating teams to hold them to account.
I go to the Reuters report. Israel's military said in these last days that a tower block in Gaza housed the U.S.-based Associated Press, which was destroyed in an Israeli airstrike. This has been controversial for some time, Malcolm. What is the issue?
The issue is that there was a building in which AP and Al Jazeera had offices. Israel gave advance notice and said that they were going to hit it during the war, and they only hit sites. They did not hit civilian targets, except if they had military implications. And it turns out AP went on a campaign objecting to it, protesting, even though all of their people got out safely and were given advance warning so even the terrorists could get out. But it turns out that this building, which they had to know housed Hamas operatives and operations, that they were developing a device there to disrupt the Iron Dome missile defense system through electronic interference. And therefore, it's the reason why that facility had to be taken out. And Hamas had intelligence and technological research and development offices in the building that was struck. And the ambassador of Israel to UN gave this information to AP, which said they weren't aware, they didn't know, but it's very clear. And you know how damaging that would be if they were able to interfere with the launch of the Iron Dome, which took out 90% of the missiles, especially when you had 4,000 rockets launched from Gaza. How many thousands of lives were saved, maybe even hundreds of thousands of lives were saved. When I saw the devastation that a single rocket could take on a civilian population, that one landing near apartment buildings for a block radius all around, destroyed buildings, made it uninhabitable. And this was going on, remember, over 4,000 times, 700 of the rockets landing inside Gaza and killing many of the people that they try to blame on Israel.
We must be quick, Malcolm. First, a study by the EU from 2019 is finally revealed. What does it say about UNRWA?
This is a 200-page report that's been held since 2019, but it clearly demonstrates how the UNRWA and the UNESCO are and supporting textbooks which demonize Israel and Jews, which incite. They gave hundreds of examples of the incitement in these textbooks. Their maps erase the state of Israel completely. They use the term only Zionist occupation, never a reference to Israel. And they're committed to working to promote compliance with the UNESCO standards. But we've been warning about this for years. This is the first concrete documentation like this, and it's going to be presented to the European Parliament and others. But the question is, why did they hold it up for so long? And the United States announced that it would contribute $150 million to UNRWA, and we're hoping that they will use that as leverage, and before they give it, make sure that there's full compliance. But it's why you're raising a generation of haters who incite to violence, because it's coming from the tax dollars of the U.S. and others through the U.N. to these agencies.
And finally, Malcolm, 30 seconds. The Taylor Force is being violated by whom, Malcolm? Who's violating it, and what is to be done? 30 seconds.
Once again, it's the Palestinian Authority. They're paying $42,000 to the family of a murderer who killed two people on their way to the Western Wall to pray. Innocent people, they attacked the family. They stabbed the child, they stabbed the wife, but they killed the husband and somebody else who came to his aid. And this is a complete violation of the Taylor Force Act. It's why there can't be aid to the Palestinian Authority until they promise full compliance.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.